Welcome to the Learning Curve podcast, where Brithik and Arvind share with you everything that they've learned so far about technology, startups, and remote life. Hello and welcome to another episode of Learning Curve podcast. I'm Arvind.
And I'm Brithik.
And in this episode, we are going to talk about a book called Show Your Work.
It is a book by Austin Kleon who believes that if your work isn't online, it does not exist.
I think he meant if your work is not shared, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't exist for other people at least. Like, it exists for you maybe, but not for the world. And the thing with that is nobody knows that you're capable at doing a certain thing. And only you know it. So it deprives you of a lot of opportunities that could come your way because you shared a certain work.
Exactly. And there's another point that I took away from that book, which is it is not enough to be good. So if you're a good developer, that is not enough. And in order to be found, you should be findable, which means you should share your work more often. And that puts you on the radar of good talent or good, capable people, and you will be findable easily.
I think by findable, it is also that people put us in a box. Whenever we think of one person, it's basically this is what he does, one or two things. Like when I think of you, Arvind, that is traveling, coding, and a bit of art and creative stuff. But those are the three buckets I would put you in. And most people, when we think of somebody, we put them in certain buckets. So when we share our work, we actually get control over which bucket we want people to put us in. Like all the people who know me on Facebook, they think I'm into music and, you know, I make songs and things like that. But they have no clue about my programming side because I'm not on Facebook at all these days. So they just know that. So if they meet me, they're like, how's your music going? And being clueless about this other thing. But it was kind of my job to tell everybody that, hey guys, I code and I do this if I wanted to. But this is what sharing our work gives us control. So since I had shared my songs back in the time, people associate me with music. And that's what they can think of when they meet me after a long time. And similarly, if we code more about tweets, similarly, if we tweet more about programming, then people associate us with that thing. And say if someone needs a programmer, they will instantly think, oh, Arvind codes in this Next.js and Notion API and things like that. And if they want to know something, they will go to you, Arvind. And that is the benefit of showing your work. Because when you speak about your work, when you're talking about your work in general, then it's just talk. When people actually see you do your work, say if you're doing a live coding session, if you're sharing a code snippet even, they can see that this person is more than words and this person is actually writing code, which maybe they found some value from and they want to get in touch with you for more so you get more opportunities.
I'd like to iterate on this point where you said catching up with the friends and knowing what and they knowing what you are up to. So I remember last week when we got on a call, you were telling, yeah, I was just checking your Twitter account to see what you were up to. I think that makes a good reason to share your work online. You tell people what you are up to, what your interests are. And when you do that, right kind of people resonate with the things that you shared. And you end up making good friends and good connections over the internet.
Arvind, tell me about the connections you have made by sharing your work online.
I've met good developers when I used to share, I still share a lot of work or a lot of side things, side projects that I do. So I've met people from Egghead, I've met indie developers who are doing their thing, trying to build products, or people who have already built products. And all these people whom I wouldn't generally do, because there is very less scope being in Hyderabad and getting to meet people like that. But because I shared work, I could meet them. And once there was, I think a year back, I was invited to be on a call with few people at Egghead because I made a theme and shared the journey of that, making that theme. So these opportunities were because of the shares that I did online.
Awesome. So you found not just users of your theme, but also fans who wanted to know more from you. Okay, so let's move on to the next point. Don't treat the method behind your work as a secret sauce. So what's your take on it?
I'd say there is a limit to what you can share, or if you take me, there will be a limit to what I share online, because sometimes I'd be working on a secret project or a project that would make me some money or some kind of a business logic, which is something that I invented or I came up with. So I wouldn't want everyone to know it. So I might share parts of it to share or to teach specific concepts, but not as a whole, and make it obvious to duplicate it or use it used by other people. What do you think?
Cool. So basically sharing the process instead of the secret sauce.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Process gives very less away of the actual business logic. Whereas if you share the business logic, now anyone can do what you're doing. And if it is something that drops down in scale, if it performs poorly, if it scales, for such things, it's really advisable to not share the business logic. I'll give an example. I'm making a bot that trades in stocks. And if I share the business logic of how it determines which stocks to trade in, how much, you know, what position sizes are going to be, and, you know, how it actually works, it will actually, the more people who use the bot, then the less money it will make. And there is only one limit to the bot that I'm making. So it doesn't scale infinitely. And only if with a certain amount of capital, it can work. There are in trading, there are institutional investors who can trade in millions and millions of rupees. But for indie traders, where we can shine is by building these niche bots, which can do one thing and not scale so much, but it's enough for one person to make good money. So in that case, it's really advisable to keep the logic to yourself. And I'm thinking, like, what can I share in this? I can share about the things I learn about Node.js, AWS, and the tech side of things that is helping me build this bot, so that others can build their bot, but not using the same logic, with their own logic, but they know at least the tech stuff of what to use, how to use, and the nitty-gritties of it.
Yeah, you can share about how you deploy your bot on AWS so that it never dies, and your computer, however slow your computer might be, but you use the power of cloud to basically give it enough power so that it can function.
Yeah.
So you can share things like that. It said when you teach, two people learn. So one is the person you are teaching, and one is yourself, where you are either improving or understanding the concept better is one way, and learning back from them is the other way.
Totally. And I think the best part with this is, you know, forget the tech knowledge or whatever, you know, all the niche thing that you're teaching. If you even forget that for a second, those are like very big things. But let's keep that aside for a second and think of the most important skill one can have, which is communicating an idea to others. That is something we are getting better at whenever we share something, whenever we teach something to somebody. The communicating technical ideas and the complexity in a simple way, I think that's the biggest asset, and that's something we are improving every time when we are creating new content or sharing our work more.
I want to jump onto this point where the author mentions in the book that it is the process that people are interested in. It's not just the end result. End result is good and fancy, but people connect with the journey part of it because it's someone else working to get something done. So people connect with that part. So they want to see how donuts are made. They want to see how donuts are made, not just eat the donuts. It might not be true for everyone, but interested people want to see the work behind something that is being built.
And they can, with the process, they can take your process and use parts of it when they are doing something for themselves, which might not be the same thing that you are doing. So the same project might not be useful for others, but the process we went through, parts of it would be useful for other people. That's why process over the actual project. Yeah, process over project. And ultimately, process is something that takes us forward in the project and in future projects. So say if we do one project and we learn certain things about ourselves and how we learn and how we solve problems, that is something that scales through all the projects that we do. So it really, it's important. And when I hear famous people talk about things, that's what I take away. Arvind, recently I bought this book, Tools for Titans. You had gifted me the physical copy and I bought the audiobook version because I wanted someone to read that to me. So what I get from it is people are talking about their own context, but they are sharing a lot of their process, what goes through and what they do to get into a state of peak productivity. And that's what matters to me, because their productivity and what they do doesn't matter so much to me, but how they get there is what I want to really know. So that's why I really enjoy learning about people's processes.
All my Twitter account these days are filled with tweets of indie developers and indie hackers. So what I take away from that is that if there is only one tweet that you announce after you build a product, that tweet might not get the eyes of a lot of people. But when you do it in bits and pieces, when you have small wins or when you add little features or fix little bugs and you tweet it every time, then all these tweets will have a potential to reach a lot of people when you compare that with one final release tweet. So this is basically telling you in the context of Twitter and development, but I think the same applies to a lot of things like music, for example.
It applies to music, I think, because you release one song and it's just a one-off thing. Whereas the process that goes into creating a song, that's a big thing. By the way, recently I'm like, since we're talking about processes, one thing I'm doing is writing songs with the help of OpenAI, and it's amazing. Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm sitting down, and often I get stuck at what I want to write next. So I have a base idea and I start writing, and then I need help of, you know, a songwriting buddy, but I don't know anyone who can help me with it. I've tried finding people, like it didn't work out, but GPT, like, wow, I mean, it really helps you to complete your thoughts, and that's what I've been benefiting from.
How does it help you write my rap lyrics in between your songs? Yo, this is GPT. I'm here to feel
no, no, not that. But it gives me some ideas, some words, some rhymes maybe. It helped me with that. Now, ideally, if I walked my talk in sharing my work when it comes to music, I'm not doing that since I'm more into programming and I share a bit of my programming journey online. With music, ideally what I would do is record the entire process of creating a song, which is a big, big deal, because we don't want people to see us writing songs. It's personal and it's like, no, we don't want to share that. But to walk the talk, that would be my goal. Like recording a song in front of a camera where I'm writing shitty lyrics, I'm improving on them, bad chords, everything, like not perfect. Like that's my fear, right? So doing that and improving it over time, whereas the audience is watching me mess up, watching me get better, and watching me create a final song. That is what my ideal sharing my work scenario would be. Okay. Finally, let's touch on the anxiety part and the main barrier that comes between us from sharing our work. Arvind, you share your work more than me. And what were the barriers that you faced and how did you overcome them? Again, like while asking this question, I want to stress that what I want to take away from you is the process of your thought, and that's where lies the goal. Yeah, please go ahead.
Don't think much, I'd say, and share as soon as you get a good learn. Or sometimes it happens when you're developing that you find some concept very interesting or you understand a concept. And when you share that, you often realize that your understanding was wrong. So you get corrected in public, which was very hard in the beginning. But I think it's beneficial if you do it, because you get corrected in the beginning of your learning phase, which is always advantageous when you compare it with going with some wrong concept throughout building something or doing something and then getting corrected at the end. So you have to correct up all the mistakes that you made. But when you get corrected in the beginning, before you didn't make any mistakes with the code, but just with the understanding, then it'll help you in the long run. So my goal with tweeting is not mostly about getting corrected, but it's more about sharing the things that I am learning. And what I believe is that when you reach a certain level, it's hard to suppose consider that there are 10 levels in JavaScript development phase. So 10 is the highest, where you write frameworks like React. And 0 is something that very basic. You know how to console log in JavaScript. That's it. So if I'm at level 5, then there'll be a lot of less people who would resonate with the things that I am learning. Only I can make sense to fellow level 5 people or level 5, level 6 till level 10. But people who are at level 1 and level 2 will not understand what I'm tweeting. And most of the people are at level 1 and level 2 and level 3. There are a very few level 8 or level 9 people in the world. So what I'd say is, it is easy to teach level 1 people when you're at level 2. It's easy to teach level 0 people when you're at level 1, because you resonate with them. So that is important when you are learning. We often think that this is a very silly thing, and why would I tweet it? Everyone might know it. But that that won't be the case often. What do you feel? Why do you not tweet?
good straight to the point question. I'll tell you why I don't tweet. Sometimes I don't use Twitter at all. That is one of my main reasons why I don't tweet. Sometimes when I start using Twitter, which is like the past week or so, I keep tweeting. And that's what I do. I think I need to use more social media to tweet more. But then sometimes when I'm deep into a project, I can't even think about anything else apart from that. And at that point, I'm not in the place to share my process or anything. I'm just thinking about the problem and where I'm stuck and how to solve it. That's all. And I get dreams about programming and I just can't do anything else at that point. So that is the main reason why I don't tweet, because of being in the zone for a prolonged time or being stuck with a problem for a long time. Ideally, I should tweet about the problem that I'm facing so that others can help me out, especially Arvind, so that maybe you can help me out. But there is a joy in being immersed in a problem, finding solutions for it and getting there. I don't regret not tweeting, though. I enjoy the journey of being a maniac programmer sometimes. But talking about other things, I would say, when it comes to music, I don't tweet for a reason where I think I'm not there yet and I know I'll never be there. So let's make one decision about the music. I'll create an alt account where I will record a 30-second song on Twitter and share how I made it, how I use GPT-3 and the tools that I use to quickly make a song and put it out there. That's a challenge I will take on. But from the programming point, I think I'm really okay with sharing, because when you know you are bad at thing and it doesn't affect you personally, like I'm myself saying I'm not a good programmer, then nothing really affects me when I share bad code or anything. And it is the same thing with doctors. You know, doctors say that we can treat patients better whom we don't know well personally, because then it's just a job. But if it is a person, you get very conscious about things. And same with my music, it's just so personal that I don't want to share it. That's how it is. I just want to keep it to myself and I don't want anyone's criticism about it. I'm not open to criticism also there. And I think that's what's stopping me from sharing my work, my process, my music. And with this episode, I'm going to change that.
Awesome. One more suggestion is to make a anonymous alternate account. So with that, what happens is you really have the freedom.
But then it gets easier, right?
Even if people say things, it's not affecting you. It's affecting that alt account, which is in turn you.
Oh, no, it's still affecting me. Because if someone is passing a comment on my song, like it's a bad song or something, it's affecting me, because those are my ideas. It's I don't know, but let's try it out. No, but I think I would prefer making my own account. Like it would be an account with not my name, with a different name, maybe with a stage name, maybe, but I will be happily talking about that account, like directing people who want to know about my music to that account.
Do you think Twitter is a...
I'm proud of the songs I make.
Do you think Twitter is a good platform to share music, or is it Instagram?
No,
or SoundCloud
Instagram
or something?
I think Instagram is a good account to share music. Twitter is more for thoughts and ideas. I haven't really heard much music on Twitter. I've seen people vlog on Twitter where they're on the camera and talk about stuff and make funny videos.
And I think with the audio revolution going on, you can record a piece of audio and tweet, or create a space and talk live or make music live. This might make it a good platform for musicians also, or people into audio.
What I think would work is, since I'm writing songs using GPT, as a help. I think that makes it Twitter worthy. People in Twitter, like at least in my circles, they are more interested in tech and how tech is being used. So it might be that Twitter is the perfect place for this. Yeah, so now I want to talk about the excuses that we make. So while talking about this Twitter challenge, which I'm going to do since, you know, I'm saying it out publicly in front of all of you and in front of Arvind. So I think that it, before saying this, I had some excuses in my mind. Like once I was recording at my home after midnight and the security people, the watchmen and all, they came and said, "Are you having a party here?" And I'm like, no, no party or anything. So I just said that, no, nothing like that. But I was actually playing music. So my excuse of not doing this challenge would have been that I don't have an ideal environment where I can perform music whenever I want. And I quickly realized that this is an excuse. And I stopped myself from taking on the challenge because of this excuse. So when we want to show our work, we'll have lots of valid excuses that come in our way. And it is up to us how we can bypass these excuses and still do something that we want to do. We'll never have that ideal environment, the ideal setup, the ideal everything. But we will have the ideal flow to follow something that we really want to do. And that's why we should do it. Yeah, so great talking to you, Arvind, about Show Your Work. I didn't think we would have so many points and, you know, I would take up this challenge. Would you like to take up a challenge also? I think you're already sharing a lot of stuff, but still, what would something difficult be
for
you?
I cannot commit time, at this point. That's the thing. Because I have I can tweet every day, but I do that already. It's not a challenge. I can write, that's also not a challenge because I do it every week for my newsletter. By the way, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, you should. A nice segue.
we'll drop a link in the description.
What else can be a challenge? Last time we were talking about this and we both took a challenge and I uploaded 7 videos on YouTube in a week. That was good. So I was very scared to record myself doing it because I used to freeze while I used to get conscious and not, my mind wouldn't focus on the work. If I get a bug or something, I would completely blackout. But as soon as I stop recording, I would get an idea to fix that bug and that gets fixed. So that used to happen when I took a challenge last time. I'm excited to see what your learnings and takeaways will be from that challenge, from your challenge now.
Let's do a follow-up of this if we learn something new and about how showing our work, how we can make showing our work easier or what we learned while showing our work. Awesome, Arvind. Great talking to you. I hope everyone loved listening to this episode.
Let us know by tweeting and replying to the tweet that we do. Awesome. Have a good time of the day. See you guys in the next one. Bye.
And have a good day. Bye.